The proclamation of the gospel continues in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. We are in the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him also. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Sisters and brothers, joint heirs of God's promises, grace and peace be to you. From God, our loving parent, from Jesus, our co-heir, and from the Spirit who leads us into life. Amen. Our passage from Paul's letter to the Romans today reads a little bit like a chaotic collage of words, or at least it does if you are trying to write a sermon about it, I will tell you. In fact, here is a little wordle I created about our very passage to invoke the chaos. Now, midway through chapter 8 of the letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul seems to be using all the words. God, Spirit, hope, children, creation, flesh, live, glory. So it can be easy to gloss over the power of these words and images as we charge our way through. So this morning, let's linger on the words children and heirs, related words, of course. Because as Paul defines here, these words relate to several of the other buzzwords, and I'd like to argue that these words, children and heirs, embody the promise of what this whole passage means for us. So please read with me as a reminder of how these words fit in context. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him. We are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Gifford Lake doesn't make it onto many maps of Michigan, except for Google Maps, thank goodness, because otherwise it would be impossible to find. It's quiet, both in water volume and in size. Even a mediocre swimmer can swim across its diameter and can do so without any concern of motorboats crossing her path, since the Lake Association does not allow them. My Grandpa George used to take nightcap swims across Gifford and back. It worried my mother to death when they were visiting to have her father-in-law out there swimming in the dark. But sure enough, Grandpa would always come back to his second-generation no-frills cabin. And it must be stated that he would not have dried himself off with a towel because those who did so at the lake were called cream puffs. So after a good shake, he'd park in his tattered chair with a cigar and some cheap beer to conclude another night in paradise. There he is. This is obviously not after a nighttime swim, but you get a sense for the vibe of the cabin. My great-grandpa Harry Sedlowski, here he is with my grandmother Rosemary. Grandpa Harry first purchased the cabin and some adjacent property back in the mid-1940s. In the years that followed, he proudly shared his cabin with the next two generations, including George Hollenbeck, his son-in-law, and George and Rosemary's four sons, the eldest of whom is my dad. My dad grew up going up north for him from suburban Detroit to this lake. Family lore abounds from those years. Secret antics that took place in the no women allowed bunkhouse, surprising snorkeling discoveries, Grandpa Harry's catchphrases, including the aforementioned term cream puffs. My own early childhood was spent making annual pilgrimages to Gifford Lake, joining Dad and Grandpa George and all of our Hollenbeck family in creating new generations of family lore. Years ago, I remember my mom asking me to name my favorite place on earth, and I said Gifford Lake. So when Grandpa George was struck with Alzheimer's in the early 1990s and could no longer drive up to his beloved cabin, there was a great void in our family. Gifford Lake had inarguably become the physical headquarters of our family and our heritage. Grandpa George sold the cabin but left the adjacent property to my parents as part of their inheritance. For 20 years, we continued to visit the lake, this time just for a couple hours or so at a time each year, if we were lucky, bringing our cabin in a bag, as my mom called it, a bag of camping chairs, picnic food, and beach towels, much to the chagrin of my grandfather's memory, since the Hollenbeck cabin on the lake was no longer the Hollenbeck cabin. In between snorkeling jaunts and walks around the perimeter of the lake, we would sit in our Coleman chairs, wipe the sand off our toes, and listen and watch as my parents dreamed about building a new cabin on the lake one day, about creating a new family heritage headquarters for new memories. They would gaze up at their property, imagining a structure that was not there, always with a kind of joy I could never quite understand. To me, the cabin dream always seemed a little far-fetched after 20 years of staying just a dream. I eventually started to doubt that we would ever see their dream come to fruition. But in the past 7 years or so, the picture of the hypothetical cabin started to become more and more clear. Eventually, a couple years ago, stakes went into the ground outlining the footprint of the less and less hypothetical structure. And then late last summer, a few months after my dad's retirement, these were months during which builders 800 miles away from my parents lived, which is here, were working mighty hard. And then my parents arrived at their dream cottage. After 20 years of imagining, planning, and saving, my parents saw the new Hollenbeck cabin come into existence. The timing worked out just right that John and I spent about a month there with my parents late last summer, and you can see you're never too old for matching family photos there. If you can see closely, that's, of course, Augustana National Champions shirts we were wearing to appease my father. So we got to spend about a month there last summer helping my parents settle into the inaugural season of the new Hollenbeck cabin. During that month, we hosted a stream of family and friends, visits filled with poignant pilgrim moments of returns to the place with such great meaning. It's a gift I will always cherish to watch my parents' dream come true after all the years of work and wait. And now it's a gift to know that someday my sister and I will inherit the cabin and all the memories and identity that come with it. And I'm glad to say this is now true that we'll inherit it because my parents finally updated their will, because until a couple of months ago, I was still listed as future issue. Now, of course, I am current issue. But I'm exceedingly aware that I did nothing to earn this cabin. My grandfather and great-grandfather purchased and maintained the original places, and my parents both worked hard for 40-plus years before building the place we now call the family cabin. I had nothing to do with any of it, except for rearranging the fiesta ware in the cupboards. I can't take credit for any inch of this place. We are children of God, the Apostle Paul says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. The meaning of the Greek of joint heirs with Christ is really co-heirs on equal footing. In the midst of the collage of words and commas Paul's throwing at us here, we have this incredible promise. As children of God, we have received the same inheritance from God as Jesus himself. And as you may recall, if you look at our stats, we're not particularly worthy to be receiving all the same gifts as Jesus. First of all, Jesus was fully God and fully human. Second of all, he healed people, welcomed the outcast, loved the stranger, turned over tables in the temple when the house of worship was being exploited for commercial gains, and on one occasion, he actually brought a man back from the dead. He suffered at the hands of authorities who were threatened by everything he represented, and eventually he died on a cross on behalf of all of humanity for the sake of our life and forgiveness, making the statement with his very life that there is no place, no suffering, no death where we can go that God has not also gone. And then 3 days later, to prove that even death won't win the day, he also rose from the dead. I, for one, have done none of these things. But if you have, please let us know, because the church newsletter is going out next week. And yet, Paul says in Romans, despite the glaring reality that we have done none of the works of Christ, we are co-heirs of God with Christ. Like how my sister and I seemed on the same line of the paperwork for my parents' cabin, equal shares in the inheritance. But this time, we're signing on the same line as Jesus. But to be clear, we don't have to actually sign anything. Our inheritance from God is a gift. We cannot earn it, just like I did nothing to earn the lake view at my parents' cabin. We cannot earn our identity as children of God or the baptism that names us as such. This is why in the Lutheran Church we baptize infants, like our new brother Bryce Allen, as we will baptize soon. As adorable as Bryce is, he has not earned his status as an inheritor of God's mercies. He has not made a decision, as far as we know, or performed any miracles other than maybe sleeping through the night. It is only God through Jesus Christ who names him a child of God. This is grace for Bryce and for each of us, that we cannot earn our inheritance. Our inheritance, though, is not just an inheritance of the good parts of the story, the parts we choose, nor is this inheritance for a life of all glitz and glory. As children of our human families, we all know that we don't just inherit the happy parts of our family narrative or the beautiful bits of our genetic code. My sister and I will inherit the grieving over my grandparents, the many years of pain and groaning in our family over difficult decisions and lost places. As children of God, we inherit the life and resurrection of Jesus just as we inherit his suffering and death. In baptism, in the liturgy, we say that we actually die with Jesus and rise again, joined together with Christ in his death and resurrection. We inherit a story of an end and a glorious beginning, a story that experiences the pain of death, that speaks truth to power, that participates in the work of justice, and that proclaims the promise of the resurrection. And we inherit a story that is not ours alone, that's not merely an individual experience. Being a co-heir with Christ is not a one-time me and God sort of transaction, just as my sister and I won't inherit a cabin that is ours to hoard. We'd dishonor our parents if we never opened its doors, if we never shared the story and the structure of the cabin with others. So we all, as heirs of God, share in Jesus' glory and his suffering, not just for ourselves, but for the sake of the world. In baptism, we're joined to the life of Christ to experience the freedom of his grace and to share in his work of justice, mercy, and love. Our baptism is an invitation into full engagement with the world and its people. It's an invitation to join creation in its groaning for redemption, as the passage says. An invitation to recognize our shared inheritance along with the earth and all of God's children. To share in the riches of God's mercies with the outcast and the stranger, with the saints before us and the saints to come, with flowers and animals, lilies and birds. Jesus invites you once again to share in his life, in bread and wine, in water and word. granting you an inheritance made possible only by his grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.